It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello, welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name's James Truepenny. This is my show, and as you probably guessed, we've had a wonderful pre-production chat today. Today we are on Evolution Weekend, and I'm very proud of the Truepenny Show channel to have all of our female contributors on both this show and on Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind, as all of them, Kat and Chelsea and Christy, are all on the show today. So let's say hello to them first. Chelsea, how are you doing, Mom?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. She's of the shoulders up there. You can find all sorts of feminist wrestling news and great wrestling writing. And my good friend Christy, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay. Got a bit of a headache, but let's see if women's wrestling can fix that for me.
Women's wrestling.
I have a headache too. Twinsies.
Yay!
Well, as usual, when we talk about women's wrestling, and I'll precurse this, we're going to look at a show called The Big Show in Sendai by Sendai Girls, which is one of my favorite wrestling promotions on the planet. We've never looked at a Sendai Girls show from top to bottom, so we're going to look at that today, which is one of the reasons why I want Christy and Chelsea on the show, because they're Joshi wrestling fans just like me. But also, it's Evolution Weekend, like I said, and we're going to try and celebrate women's wrestling this week as much as we possibly can. I know we're not usually WWE's guys, and that's kind of Mike's new job, but we want to celebrate them, and we want to show what women's wrestling has done in the last 50 or so years and how great it's been. I should say, really, last longer than that, like, you know, 100 years or so. Women's World Title is the oldest title in wrestling, and it's been around forever. So, yes, we're going to celebrate that. And as usual, I have a bit of a woman's empowerment story. Have either of you heard of Shirley Muldowney?
No.
Shirley Muldowney is considered the greatest drag racer of all time. She is 78 years old, and she won 3 NHRA Top Fuel Championships in the 1970s and 1980s, and she has been classed as the greatest drag racer ever, because winning the Top Fuel Championship is really, really hard, because races only last 6 seconds. And if you screw up, you're in a wall and break both your legs, which she did do, and she came back from 2 broken legs.
Wow.
So there you go. So you should look up Shirley Muldowney. There's a couple of documentaries on YouTube, and I like these stories, and I thought it was really, really cool, because drag racing is actually really female heavy. And if you're looking for an auto sport to follow that is more balanced, go watch drag racing. There's lots of women in drag racing. But there you go. Anywho.
Do you mean an auto sport to follow that's not boring like NASCAR? Is that what you mean?
Careful, Chelsea, careful.
Turn
left. I'm going to get people mad at me. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm really sorry if anyone listening to this likes NASCAR, but I think NASCAR sucks. Maybe I just don't know how to appreciate it.
I think it's because you're a northerner. If you were a southerner, you'd get it more.
I mean, that is entirely possible.
We'll have to ask Marcus, who's probably not best placed to watch drag racing either, to watch NASCAR either, but we'll ask him. He might get it better. Anyway, we're looking at a big show from Sendai, which was let's see how many people, 1,950 in attendance at Sendai Sun Plaza, where Sendai Girls run their big shows. Now, Sendai Girls is a promotion out based in Sendai, as you probably could imagine, and is based around Miko Satomura and is owned by Miko Satomura and Jinshei Senzaki. You may know Jinshei Senzaki if you're an old person like me. He used to wrestle for the WWF as Hikushi, and now he owns Sendai Girls and is their president. And it is an incredibly good promotion that's produced an awful lot of great wrestlers. Chelsea, what are your overall impressions of Sendai, and what do you know of it from previous watchings?
So, this is the first time I've watched an entire Sendai show. I wasn't able to make it through because I had all kinds of issues with my video. But this is the first time I've actually watched, like, not just individual matches from a Sendai show, but actually, like, a Sendai show. I was really impressed with the production values were really, really good. I thought they were comparable to a lot of the like mid-sized men's promotions I've seen in Japan. It's well filmed. There's more than one camera filming every match. I think the order the card was booked in made a lot of sense to me in my wrestling brain. It felt like there was a good understanding of how to keep the audience invested in the show going forward, not putting, you know, too much excitement at the beginning, and not making you wait too long for things that were really interesting. I also, I don't know, I guess, like, The one and only thing about the way it was presented that kind of surprised me is that all of the commentary is men. There are no women on commentary.
Yeah.
And everything else about this product is super female identified, right? Because you don't just have, like, sometimes when I watch Joshi, I have seen Joshi promotions where it is very clearly a women's wrestling promotion that is booked by men. Right? Yeah. And you have lots of Japanese women of a certain body type wrestling each other in a way that is meant to be for men's enjoyment. And Sendai Girls is not that. Sendai Girls has girls of all different kinds of body types, all different sizes, and they all have really, I would say, really vibrant personalities. That's the thing that stands out about Sendai. It feels like a show that's kind of booked around the talent on it, and not just for, like, some sort of, I don't know how to put it, not just, like, some sort of archetypical enjoyment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. There's a deeper underlying kind of sports narrative going on with this, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. And it works. Thank you for articulating well what I did not. So, I mean, it feels like it's well put together, and it feels like the women are featured in it well so that everybody gets an opportunity to show what they're about and stand out a little bit. I was surprised that the people talking about it were going to be a bunch of old dudes.
But to be fair, I think a lot of those guys used to commentate. The older guy, I've seen him on New Japan shows. He commentates for them on pre-shows and post-shows as well. And I think he used to commentate for AJW back in the day. So it's Samurai TV do the presentation for this. We watched it from the Pro Wrestling Dream site. Okay, so if you go on to the Pivot Share that Sendai uses, I think it's a different commentary team, and there's English subtitles, a bit like Stardom Run as well. So,
I didn't realize there was a way to watch this with English subtitles. That would be really helpful.
Yeah. But yeah, so this guy, the TV presentation, we wanted to use one that everyone could watch, because if you go to Paresa Dream, you can find it. So we wanted to pick one that was everybody could watch to give you a taster. So you should go and get the Pivot Share and enjoy the full plethora of shows that they have on offer. So it's kind of a good taster for that. Christy, what are your thoughts on the company? Because you haven't seen any Sendai shows all the way through either, had you?
No. I've actually been thinking about getting that Pivot Share subscription for Sendai Girls, especially after this show, because I really enjoyed it. And I'm a Mako girl, so I was already predisposed to liking this and wanting to see more. So, I was really, really excited, because I actually know a couple of these women, which is surprising for me, because I'm really new to watching Joshi. And they also had some Eve girls, which made it a lot of fun, because I know these women. And I really liked what Chelsea said, that the production was so, well, I wouldn't say perfect, but it was really, really good and steady and stable, and they made the right decisions when to cut and not maybe when to cut, but I'll get to that a bit later. But they knew how to cut and how to use the camera to their advantage. There were some great shots of kicks or jumps that really landed well because of the camera work, and I really appreciate that. That's something that I really enjoy about New Japan, and finding those rare moments that make wrestling seem so epic.
Yeah.
So seeing that in this promotion that is not the biggest and is just trying to do what they can with the means that they have was really exciting for me, because I wasn't maybe expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big show, so it makes sense that it is the best they can do.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I was going to say, it looked better produced than the ITV wrestling show, not from the big production exploding video screen stuff, but from the way it was shot. Like, ITV World Sport Wrestling looked like it was shot by a director having a fit a lot of the time, because there was that many cuts and chops, and, you know, they were trying to emphasize everything and trying to de-emphasize big impacts. And it was like, it's a wrestling show shot by people who don't know how to shoot a wrestling show.
You know, oh dear.
I liked the content, and I liked when they calmed down. But you were actually begging for a chin lock so that they could, you know, stop cutting stuff. Whereas this is not like that. This is professionally well done by a decent TV crew, cover wrestling every weekend, so everything looks smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Right then, should we go on to the first match?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this was a kind of like the traditional AJW kind of layout of have all your rookies in the first match, ultra competitive, really fast action, kind of basic, but really well done. It featured Mikoto Shindo and Mio Momona. I'm going to need Andy. Mikoto Shindo and Mio Momona versus Amy Sato and Mai Suraga. Did I get that right, Chelsea? Anywhere near?
Sort of.
Okay. if you want proper spellings, if you go to the Cage Match Sendai Girls page, you can find it there. It was very, very enjoyable and thoroughly enjoyable because it was like four people who were really going for it. There's no story to this kind of match. It's just a wrestling match, but they're all trying to get themselves over it in the purest of forms. Christy, what did you think of this?
Well, I've never seen any of these women. I've never seen half of the people on this card. So I wrote down what their colors were and what they were wearing. And judging by what they were wearing, Shindo was wearing a singlet. And I'm assuming that means she's more of a rookie than the other three,
yes.
Right?
Yes, indeed.
So that was easy. I was also very, very thankful that they started the match out by having one team betray the other at the very first second. So it was like, thank you for letting me know who to root for and what everyone's role is. Thank you very much. And then I saw like 3 minutes of footage and I already knew I loved Mei. Suruga?
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really
Suruga.
Loved her.
Yeah, that's right.
She was really vibrant and exciting, and we didn't get to see much of her at the end of the match, but just the opening moves with her running around and jumping off the ropes and having just so much fun kicking someone's ass. That really appealed to me. And she was so cute. She had this, no, I can't really describe her, but she had this great outfit, and I already know I like her.
Yeah.
So I want to see more of her. She's not in Sendai, I don't think.
No,
but...
she's in Gato Move Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, but she was really fun.
Yeah, she's
And Mio was very acrobatic. Sorry?
Nothing. Didn't say anything. Sorry.
Okay, I think I've got some...
There's a I changed pages and may have clicked. I do apologize.
No, that's okay. She had some great moves, some very acrobatic moves, but she also had some terrible bruises on her arm that I couldn't distract myself from. Somehow that didn't surprise me that she'd be bruised all over, considering Yoshi. She seemed like the one with the most experience to me. She was really well put together. She knew what to do. She was showing off all her moves. And I think I liked those two the most.
Yeah,
I also think they have the most experience, so that would make sense.
Yeah, Mio's a 2-year wrestler. She wrestled some Marvelous and was trained by Chigusa Nagayo.
Yeah, and then Sato ended up leading, which is probably a good introduction to Yoshi if you watch this event as the first one ever. So. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was non-intentional bleeding. It wasn't like they were bleeding in the first match, which had been insane.
No, I think it was a drop kick or something at the end that caught her in the ear.
Yeah, yeah, an errant squished nose. Chelsea, what were your thoughts on these rookies and young people?
So I liked this. I totally agree. I wrote down that it reminds me very much of an AJW opening match. So there's not a lot of story, and it's just a lot of silly fun and everybody trying to get the experience and get their stuff in, which is fun. I liked Mio a lot. I thought that she was really expressive, and she clearly looked like she was enjoying herself a whole lot, which I always appreciate. Also, I like the fact that her costume is very girly. Like, she kind of looked like a hipster cheerleader. I don't know. Like,
I was looking for ways to describe
that.
It.
And I like the fact that her top just says Mio on the front, so you know exactly who she is, which was handy. I did not really know what to think of Ami Sato, because when I saw her outfit at first, I was like, oh, prepared for someone who's a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, the way they dressed her, that particular type of, it's not really a singlet. I don't know what to call it, but I looked at her and I thought maybe she's going to be more like somebody who's like power style, but I think she's still trying to find her voice. I think her timing was a little bit off a couple of times, but I mean, I like the way she moves. Like, I look at her and I'm like, she moves like somebody who's good at pro wrestling. I think she's just still trying to figure out what she's doing. I thought Tsuraga was really good. She has a lot of energy. Or, I'm sorry, Tsuraga. Mei Tsuraga. She has a lot of energy. She totally has the aesthetic of a lot of the girls who have been trained in Sendai, in terms of like her body type and the way she picks people up.
Yeah.
She is a small woman who is very, very strong. I thought this match was, oh wait, I missed somebody, didn't I? Who did I miss? Oh, Mikoto Shindo.
Yeah.
She seems like she was having fun in this match, but she didn't really stand out to me a whole lot compared to the others. I don't necessarily think that's a criticism of her. I think just she's probably, I mean, she's only been wrestling for like, what, a year or two, according to Cage Match. I think it's probably just she's less experienced. I thought this was fun. I thought it was like a really easy way to open the show. And I think it shows off that Sendai Girls has really interesting rookie talents.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's some marvelous people there as well, Gato Pro Move. So it's kind of like an overview of the rookie stage of what's going on in Joshi. And I think that was really important. You know, it gives all of these young people a big platform to get going on, which is kind of what Sendai do. They stick people in at the deep end and see how well they do and then take them away and fiddle with them and make them work better. And there you go. It's always a work in progress with everybody on the roster.
Yeah.
Okay, move on to the next match, which was a 6-man tag match. Hikaru Shida, Kairu, and Ryo. Hikaru Shida, the even more ass-off-based offense-obsessed person, Raisuke Taguchi. But she doesn't do it in Sendai Girls. She's much more of a straight wrestler in Sendai Girls. Kairu, owner of the best moonsault in pro wrestling, and at something like 48 years old, still looks amazing. And Ryo is absolutely awesome as well. They defeated Aiga, who's a ghost. Alex Lee and Sakura Hirota, arguably the best comedy wrestler in the world. What were your thoughts on this, Chelsea?
This is a lot of fun. Everybody in this match is having a great time doing it. I was very surprised that there was someone in the match who is basically a ghost, and that it wasn't like... At first I saw that and I was like, is this like a Halloween costume thing? And then I realized that, no, I think that's just their character, right?
Yeah.
That was interesting. did she used to wrestle under her regular name, Mizuki Endo? Because I feel like I've seen her before.
Yeah, I mean, she's wrestled as Aiga for a long time. She was on the very first Gaia show, Mizuki Endo. She's now a PW person originally, but she wrestled on the very first Gaia show. She wrestled Chigusou Nagayo. She tagged with somebody else against Chigusou Nagayo and Dynamite Kansai. So she's
on the
forever.
First Gaia show. That's where I've seen her from, because I've watched it.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's been doing this character forever, as well as doing the other stuff she does too. And then, you know, there's been an ongoing story with Sakura Hirota and Aiga. When Sakura Hirota came back out of retirement and Aiga came back out of retirement as well as a character, they had a long-running comedy feud and eventually buried the hatchet and started tagging together. So hence the reason why they're on the same side here.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, this is intended to be really silly and entertaining from the get-go. I totally agree that one of the highlights is Kaoru. Oh my god, she is such a badass. She is your goth aunt. Who has like no patience for anybody's bullshit. And I mean, she just other people rush into the ring or jump into the ring. She walks. She's like, yeah, okay, whatever, sure. And then she's hilarious too. Like they did this whole thing where Iger got behind her and put her hands on her shoulders, and she kept trying to like pull her hands off and turn around and kept getting foiled doing that, somehow kept ending back up in the same position. It was actually, I'm describing it very poorly, but it's really funny. It's really, really funny. Also notable for me in this match is Hikaru Shida is clearly really popular with the Sendai Girls audience.
Yeah.
When she came out in her red gear, at first I didn't notice her blue ponytail. And then when I did, I thought that was a really cool touch. I like her aesthetic. She's one of those wrestlers who just moves in this way that is so confident and so precise. That is really, really cool. She doesn't do a whole lot of like super technical wrestling in this match, but you can tell everything she does that she knows exactly what she's doing. She has her center of gravity the whole time. I did not know what to think of Alex Lee. She is experienced. I mean, she's been wrestling for like a cage match said 8 years. I think I found a match of hers from like 10 years ago on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't really figure out why she was there. Like she's not awful, but she does not look like she performs at the level of any of the other talents in this match. And I mean, I saw she was former FCW, and people said a lot of really nasty things about her working in FCW. Also, her Twitter page says she's the first female Australian wrestler to be signed to WWE, which is the same thing that Tennille Dashwood's Twitter page says. So I was a little confused about that.
She is, but she never made it to main roster, and FCW at the time wasn't considered WWE, but she would have been signed to WWE for her development contract. But she never got out of FCW. I mean,
gotcha.
Yeah, and she is a former Sendai girl. She has good relations with Sendai office. She now works mainly for Oz Academy, where she's part of Mayumi Ozaki's group, where she's a badass heel that whips people with stuff. So
is it a bad assessment of her skills that she doesn't look like she's as good as the other people in this match? Because I did not get her at all.
I like her. I think she's okay, but she's not tear trees up technically good compared to the people around her, but she's made a living in wrestling for 10 years. So that's kind of like winning, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, listen, she's still getting paid to do it. So yeah,
exactly.
Good for her.
Yes. What did you think of this, Christy?
This was really fun. You knew from the moment that you saw Iger that this wasn't going to be a technical grandstand or anything. I have her written down as the weird one.
Yeah. I like
and
that.
That's definitely what she is. But I also really like that there was this friendship between Hirota and Iger. Like, she was trying to protect Iger, like the opposing team was being mean to Iger, and she was really, really angry about that. That they were being mean to the ghost lady.
Yeah.
To the one that looked like a really well-adjusted, pleasant individual who would never do anything against anyone. And I'm saying that with the utmost sarcasm.
Yes.
And I really like that played into the whole match. It was a comedy match, but there was a line through and from the very beginning to the end. A storyline of them being terrified of Iger, to the point where even Iger's teammates were terrified of her, and the ref was terrified of her. I'm sure if she's gone out of the ring, that the crowd would have been terrified of her. And I really like that. I like that dedication to a scary character. Sometimes when you've got a scary character, people go, "Ah, That's a cute, scary character."
Yeah.
With this one, they actually play it up in a fun way. She is scary, but she was also very sad when the opposing team ganged up on her.
Yeah. Not fair.
I like that kind of story. I mean, it's the odd couple thing.
Yeah. I mean, Sakura Hirata as well is a comedy genius wrestler. She's absolutely amazing. One of the best matches of hers that I've seen is on the last night of Gaia Girls. She wrestled Mayumi Ozaki as Tiger Mask and did everything the original Tiger Mask did. You have to see it. It's absolutely awesome. It's on the final Sendai Gaia Final Gong show, if you can find it, if it's still kicking around on the internet. It's hilarious. It's really hilarious. And like the Oz Academy crew around doing interference in a comedy fashion. It's brilliant. Just sheer brilliance. But anywho, shall we move on to the next one, which was a tag match featuring Dash Chisako and Hiroshi Matsumoto, the Lady Destroyer, Lady Godzilla, if you will.
Hiroyo,
my bad. Yeah, Hiroyo. And they defeated Millie McKenzie of your Birmingham and Rhea O'Reilly, actually she's from Coventry, and Rhea O'Reilly of Dublin Ireland, also, you know, Ace of Eve, Rhea O'Reilly. That's the kind of like position that she holds in Eve, not the actual like tournament, which Charlie Morgan has. But Millie McKenzie, Rhea O'Reilly, British mainstays of the British women's wrestling scene, making a guest appearance for Sendai and looking awesome. It was really cool to see Rhea O'Reilly. You wouldn't have thought I'd have problems pronouncing that name. It's like, I've talked to her. I have her phone number. You'd think I'd remember how to pronounce her name. Rhea O'Reilly kind of playing a big-ass, badass monster heel was such a change for her because I'm normally used to seeing her being the big baby face in a promotion. Millie McKenzie is just Millie McKenzie. Whether she's a face or a heel, she does that thing she does, and it's absolutely astounding. It's like she's Minoru Suzuki, but 18 and blonde. And Dash Chisako is just absolutely an awesome, awesome speed wrestler. And Hiroyo Matsumoto, I have loved from the very moment I saw her wrestle. Named Lady Destroyer because on her pro wrestling debut, she broke a wall.
As you do.
Yes, as you do.
So Christy, legend.
Yes. What do you think of this particular matchup? Oh, and of course, I should say, of course, Millie McKenzie is a WWE-signed wrestler. She's going to be on the new UK NXT show. And Matsumoto was, of course, in the Mae Young Classic this year. What did you think of this, Christy?
Which, Christy, okay. Sorry. First of all, I think you got distracted by Hiroyo's hair, and that's why you said Hiroshi.
Yes, I did.
It's the Tanahashi complex
I was
thing.
Wondering when we were going to get hair involved in this particular conversation.
I've got some notes about hair, so we'll get there.
Okay, good, good.
First of all, I was really excited about this match because it's the first and the only match on this card where I'd seen all of the participants before. So I felt really accomplished. Like, I know something! That's because two of them were are Eve girls. Well, Millie's maybe not 100% an Eve girl, but she's been in Eve and I've seen her wrestle on the British scene a bit.
Yeah.
Right before I watched this show, I also binge-watched the Mae Young Classic. So I'd seen Hiroyo and was really excited about her because I wanted to see what she could do in her own environment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily what WWE wants to see from her. And even though this is a match against two women who don't wrestle in Sendai regularly, I felt that she would be able to showcase what she does more in her own promotion. That's also the problem I have with this match. There was a lot of cutting.
Yeah.
I think they cut out like 5-10 minutes. And it was mostly Matsumoto's stuff, which I was really sad about. Because at one point, Millie, I think, was exchanging moves with Dash. And then suddenly she speared Matsumoto for the pin. And I was like, wait, what happened? She's not legal. But then I went back and I realized, no, they did a really quick cut. And they cut out like 5-10 minutes of material. Which I was sad about, because I think this could have been really fun, and I wanted to see Matsumoto, but we didn't get to see much of her, I think.
No, unfortunately, this was edited for TV, and all the matches up to the last three matches were kind of chopped a little bit.
Yeah, and we saw mostly Millie and Dash, I think.
Yeah.
Which was good, because they were really fun together, and I'd actually love to see a singles match. Between those two, I think they could have a good match. So, Emily, if you're listening,
yeah,
well, hi.
anyone at Fight Club Pro or
yeah, hook us up.
OTT. Yeah, but Emily maybe listens to me.
Yeah, Emily listens to you. The guys at Fight Club Pro are nice. They're lovely. But Emily will listen to you.
Maybe.
Yes. But they are coming over a lot because one person on this show is definitely coming over. If I can remember correctly, Chihiro is coming over, isn't she, like this month? Mm-hmm. And has been over. So, anywho, what did you think of this, Chelsea?
Oh, man, this is really fun. I totally agree that I was disappointed that Hiroyo's stuff apparently got cut. I thought it was really fun at the start when Millie and Dash were kind of scrapping around, because I don't normally think of Dash as like, I mean, she's a good mat wrestler, but I don't really think of her as like a mat wrestler or someone whose ground game is her most distinguishing feature.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm used to seeing her like in Chikara where she does crazy stuff. I mean, I could watch Millie McKenzie wrestle a paper bag, and I feel that way about Dash, too. I feel like they were feeling each other out, and again, I totally agree that they need a singles match, because I want to see that. I like that the crowd was so invested in them right away. Like, when they were duking it out for a little bit, and then they separated, and you could tell from the crowd reaction, the crowd was like, oh, this is really nice. I like Rhea O'Reilly a lot. She's a badass. She just, you know, she gets in the ring like she's going to beat somebody up, and she's mean, and I really enjoy that. I got to say, I really like her gear. I like that she's a lady wrestler with a slightly bigger body type than some of the girls that she wrestles, but she doesn't ever like apologize for it.
No.
She's just like, no, this is what I look like and I'm awesome and you're going to deal. And she has so much confidence, and I think that's the thing I really, really like about her. I liked the sort of like, it looks like the first half of a surfboard stretch, but she's standing up when she grabs Dash and pulls her arms back. I thought that was really cool. I really like Hiroya Matsumoto, and I was disappointed that I didn't get to see more of her stuff. As soon as I realized she was in this match and that Millie was on the other side, I was like, I want to watch those two wrestle. They did a tiny little bit, but I hope we get to see more of it in a future show at some point. That would be really fun. Everybody in this match is really talented and really charismatic. I just don't know if the way this was presented was going to give you a sense of absolutely everything they could do. Like, everybody's so capable. I guess my criticism of it is I want to see more. I want more stuff. I'm like, give me more stuff with any combination of those awesome four female wrestlers and I'll watch it.
I think there's plenty of opportunity because there is the Fight Club Pro guys are going to Currican Hall later this year or early next year. So
works for me.
There's one way of going about it. And the Sendai girls are coming to Pro Wrestling Eve within the next few months and probably will come back because, you know, those three promotions get on quite well.
Thank you, Emily and Dan.
So we'll move on. But yeah, just an absolutely awesome match. Even the chop parts are really a ton of fun to watch. Now, next we have to discuss a brand new championship. The Sendai Girls Junior title match was contested between Ayami Sasamura and Manami. Now, Ayami Sasamura is a K-Dojo wrestler. She comes from Takemichi Noku's crew. They've been branching out lately and going to other promotions, as we've seen in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And Manami is a homegrown talent from Sendai Girls who is 15 years old. She made her debut when she was 12. She is that good, and she has the best bridging German suplex I've ever seen, and she does the cattle mutilation like better than Daniel Bryan, and she's insanely good, and I want to see more of her doing everything. Chelsea, what did you think of this matchup?
Oh, this was really fun. You could not tell watching this, first of all, that both of these women were relatively new to wrestling. Like, Sasamura is 23 and she's only been wrestling for a year. Mm-hmm. And Manami, like you guys said, is freaking 15. Like, holy shit. I really like Manami. She's clearly really talented. She has a ton of core strength. Like, that bridge was insane. And she's very flexible. And she seems in this match like she's really excited to show off and show what she can do, even though right before it starts, she looks super, super nervous. I thought Ayame Sasamura was awesome. I really like her gear. I like her aesthetic. She's so sweet, she's really explosive. I love the way she moves. Like, she is kind of like a powerhouse for her size. Like, it's incredible. But she's really fast, and she makes really simple things that you see in a lot of wrestling matches look really, really cool. She's just so charismatic. They both are. I guess the thing I don't like about this match is I do not like that title belt at all. it's really, really plain and pink, and it felt like the Sendai equivalent of the Divas Championship, and maybe that's what it was supposed to. Maybe I just don't like that it's pink. I don't know.
Okay.
But I was very happy to see Sasamura very excited to win it. She was crying. She was very emotional. You know, and she's so sweet and so earnest. Like, she's such a good baby face.
Yeah.
That you sort of want to root for her. You know, she was like all smiling and showing off her sign for the photographers, and I was like, I want you to have all the good things. So I really enjoyed this match, and I want to see more from both of them.
So, Christy, what did you think of this particular matchup with Ayami Sasamura and Manami?
Well, just knowing that Manami is like 15 is blowing my mind. Like, Millie McKenzie sometimes makes me feel like a lazy, underachieving bum, but this girl is 15. It's ridiculous. And then Ayami looks like an adorable murder machine. And I love her for it. You could just tell that both of them were new, but they were really excited about being there.
Yeah.
And I think that for Sasamura, that turned into aggression and passion and charisma. And I think for Manami, maybe a bit nerves. It turned into nerves for her.
Mm.
She didn't look quite as secure as Sasamura did, but that's understandable. She's 15. She's not been wrestling that long. This is a big show. She's wrestling for a belt, so that makes all the sense in the world. I did like the opening, that it was immediately, it was aggressive, and there was murdering going on from second one. it was straight up trying to murder her for a second there, and then it got into wrestling, and it was just really entertaining for me to see these two really, really young women, girls even, try to figure out how to wrestle this, because it's clear that neither of them are especially experienced, but one of them, and I think it's Sasamura, had to take the lead and really set up this match, and that must be scary as well. I don't know who she normally wrestles, but it's probably not a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
With very little experience, though I don't know. Could be, considering this is Japan. So I really enjoyed that. And then at the end, just seeing Sasamura crying afterwards and being so excited about her belt. It was just lovely. I really enjoy emotion in wrestling, especially when it's genuine and when you know that this means so much to her. She probably doesn't get too many title chances, and especially doesn't get too many title wins. So just knowing what this means to her meant so much to me as well.
I wonder if Taka takes down Minoru and Zack Sabre down to the K-Dojo every once in a while and just have some fun.
On the one end, I want that to happen. On the other, I fear for everyone there.
Yes, that's it.
If that happens. Now look, I brought Uncle Minoru around.
Everybody just sits there terrified.
Everyone turns into a young lion.
Chelsea, what do you want to go this one now?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I think for me, the thing that stands out for me is in this particular match is Sendai Girls is a local wrestling company. It's local to Sendai. Okay, now my local wrestling companies are Lynx Wrestling in Lincoln and BWR in Grimsby. And BWR is probably a good example because they rely on a lot of imports of people from other companies. So you get people like Pete Dunne comes. Pac is going to be wrestling there soon. So, you know, so you get the trainees of the younger people and then the older people who are coming in are the big names. But in Sendai, you've got four or five of the best women's wrestlers in the world, and they're friends with the best wrestlers who ever lived. And that's the standard. And you're 15. And you have to reach that point. And she does. And that's the terrifying thing of how good is she going to be because she's this good now.
I mean, we've talked about this before, and I think you mentioned it earlier in the show, James, that, like, that's the style that Gaia used to operate with, so, which I sort of, I always think of as the predecessor to Sendai Girls, because, you know, I know that's where Mako learned a lot of what she does, is you take someone who seems like they have a lot of potential and you throw them in the deep end as quickly as you can and see if they swim. And it's shocking how many of the women do.
Yes, and swim very, very well. Okay, the next matchup is kind of like one of the overarching themes of Sendai Girls, ever since the birth of Sendai Girls. Like I said, it's a local wrestling company, but the story is Mako Satomura and her girls and how they deal with the outside Joshi world when they have challenges coming in and how they deal with each other. And this match kind of really showcased that. This is also a foreshadowing conversation for the end of the show. We'll get to that in a minute.
Spoilers.
Okay, so this particular match featured Aja Kong and Mako Satomura, and they defeated Hana Kimura and Mika Iwate. I could never get that one right. But basically, Iwate is the up-and-coming star of Sendai Girls. She's echoing the path other wrestlers have taken, specifically Chiro Hishimoto and Cassandra Miyagi. She's going to be the next one of the generation, and they're trying to build her up. She's current tag team champions with Chihiro Hashimoto, and she's tagging with Hana Kimura, daughter of Kyoko Kimura, one of the best monster heel wrestlers ever in Japanese wrestling. And Hana is absolutely awesome. She's a Wrestle 1 wrestler, but she spends a lot of time in Stardom. You've probably seen her most there. And they're facing the old guard and the old enemy, the old firm, if you will, Aja Kong and Mako Satomura, lifelong frenemies. And this is a blisteringly good match and exactly what you expect from all four. The idea of older wrestlers kind of like being the vanguard and how Sendai works versus the rest of the world.
So I don't know if there's a more intimidating pairing in history than Aja Kong and Mako Satomura. Jeez, just one of those women alone is kind of terrifying. I think I really like the fact that Sendai Girls is always willing to put the women who are still sort of up and comers, who are popular but like not at that next level yet, in a position to look really powerful and succeed, even if they're not necessarily going to win. Does that make sense? Like, I think of the thing is that Mako does sort of famously is she's like the final boss in Joshi, right? That's how Michael Cole put it, where Mako can come in and make a baby face for anybody because if she has a match with that person and they lose, they don't look any worse for losing, ever.
Yeah.
Because she's so terrifying, and she's so competent, and just, like, you know, she's everything. And Aja Kong has that quality, too, in a different way, where, I mean, you look at her when she walks out in the robes with the face paint and the trash can, and she's got the look on her face like she's gonna beat the crap out of you. and anybody who goes up against her, who loses, you're sort of like, well, that was inevitable, but that person tried really hard and that's awesome. I think Sendai Girls does that a lot better than a lot of other Joshi promotions. Like, I've watched Stardom shows before where they brought in a veteran who used to, you know, or who wins over people all the time, and I'm like, why? Like, you're supposed to be building the person that they just defeated? That seems to happen, unfortunately, a lot. I haven't watched this, but I know that that happened to Hana Kimura at least once, where I saw Joshi Twitter was really upset about it. I think it's really interesting that sort of like, I think of the Sendai Girls style as being so distinctive. And I think, I'm sorry, I'm like, I have a point in my head, but I'm trying to figure out how to articulate it. I'm not getting at it very well. Sorry. I think of the Sendai Girls style as being so distinctive. And I think that much like how Mako is someone who can come in and have a really good match with anybody who works any style, I think it's really cool that Sendai does so many shows where they bring in outside talent of different varieties and they manage to get really cool matches out of them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it gives kind of a long-term booking platform that you can play around with. I think that's the thing for me about how Sendai Girls works, is it's based so well around a bunch of conventions you can reapply in different places and go back to again and again. It's booked very much like old school Memphis in that way. There's a bunch of local heroes, then you can apply your local heroes as you go.
Yeah.
Christy, what did you think of this matchup? Because you have seen this matchup, so what did you think of it?
Yeah, this was definitely the match I was most excited about. I was really, the last match that we watched, I was already giddy about the next one. I'm such a Mako girl. I've got it written down here as, first of all, my crush on Mako is almost as legendary as Mako and Aja Kong are. And secondly, I was really excited about seeing Hana Kimura because I watch some Stardom. I binge watch when I have time. So I was really curious to see how she'd do in another promotion, because a lot of wrestlers have a particular style or character that they work one promotion and then they wrestle differently in another promotion. So I wanted to see what she would be like and if she would be as fun as I find her in Stardom, because I always enjoyed her. I enjoyed her more as a heel. She's a bit more of a happy-go-lucky baby face right now. Mm-hmm. But I think she's really good, so I just wanted to see how she mixed up with Mako and with Aja Kong. First of all, though, I think we need our customary hair review.
Yes. Hana Kimura has moved on from her normal short bob into a more layered extensions approach.
It's braids.
Braids. Yes.
I'm not sure if Chelsea has seen pictures of her.
Oh, no, I know. I know what she looks like. I've seen the short hair before. Yeah, no, she definitely went and got a serious weave. And yes. I'm surprised that nobody's pulled on it too hard yet, but it works for her. I kind of liked the short hair.
Yeah, I think everything works on her because
yes,
she's just really,
true.
Really pretty. And she works her hair really well. Like, it's not just on her head, you know? She knows how to work it and use it and look appealing to people, but I think I like the short hair better. It just seems like so much. There's so much hair to pull, which also makes it look violent, but I don't know. I like the shorter hair more. And I also realized while waiting for Mako to come out that her music is just epic, and I really missed it during the Mae Young Classic.
Right, yeah.
It's the music was okay that she had for the Mae Young, but there's just something about hearing that music and knowing that she's going to walk out, and just the epic wrestler that she is, the queen boss, if you will. And I missed it so much during the Mae Young Classic.
That song, I have to say, when I was at Wrestle Queendom, 1,000 people singing along with that song is awesome. It's just so, especially, there's two moments that stood out, that song that stood out to me in the last couple of years, and I've been present for both of them, was at the King of Trios final, and I've talked about this before, and the music strikes and everybody just exploded. It's like the biggest pop I've seen in wrestling. The only thing that came close to it I've seen lately was CCK's debut in Progress. But it's such a pop to hear the Sendai Girls theme in that particular environment. And then, but even more so when the music died down, and all I could hear was Mako's gonna kill you. And it's like, I'm in Birmingham, I'm in Wolverhampton, I'm in like British Strong Style's hometown, and they hate them. And it's the Sendai Girls who are the baby faces. It's like, you know, this tournament wouldn't exist without Trent Seven. It wouldn't exist without British Song Style bringing Shikara to the UK. But no, we don't care about you because Mako Satomura, Cassandra Miyagi, and Dash Chisako are in the ring and they're going to kill you.
That is what happened.
And that song is just so Mako as well. And for me, it's a very special memory because the first time I saw her, it was live at Eve. And I was sat in the balcony. And then below me, you could hear the people sing this song, and you could almost feel the vibrations, you know, coming up from the crowd, and it was just amazing. I still cry sometimes when I think about it. No, not really.
I can't imagine seeing Mako in person. I've never seen her in person, but I can't imagine seeing her in person and not being prepared at all for that experience. That must have been something.
It was amazing, and I got to take a picture with her. I mean, I don't get too many opportunities, but I'm so glad I got this one. I'm so thankful. Okay, match.
Yes,
I was fangirling a bit too much there. And then Aja Kong comes out, or she came out before, but I really like her. She's just, I call it relaxed destruction. And I hope to achieve that one day. Just looking like you're going to murder someone, but doing it at your own speed. And just being, chewing gum while killing someone, you know?
Are you going to walk into work with a trash can in either hand and just put them down?
Or maybe do it metaphorically.
Yes.
Instead.
Two metaphoric trash cans.
And she's just chewing gum and trying to tear a nice lady's arm off and thinking about all the people she gives nightmares every night and enjoying it.
Yeah.
Or whatever she thinks about during a match. Murder, maybe. And then the match was just so much fun. I really enjoyed it. It's also this contrast between the, I don't want to say call them old, but the old guard. You know, that's still clinging on and showing the way to the younger girls. And then these up-and-comers. And Hana Kimura is really popular right now. Mm-hmm. And she just looks and acts like a real star. So it was really interesting to me to see these two mix. And I'm also really curious in a few years, if we look back at this and say, that's Aja Kong and Mako against two of the biggest stars right now.
Yeah, I think we probably
I'm
will.
Really curious if that happens.
Seems plausible.
Yeah, definitely.
Wouldn't surprise me either.
No.
And then there was a moment in the match that I absolutely loved. Mako accidentally kicked Aja Kong's trash can of the ring apron. And it made the loudest noise ever. And it really spooked me. And you could tell that it spooked her as well, because she like bolted off the ring apron to retrieve it and put it back. And then she made this sheepish face like, oh my god, I did not just do that. I'm so sorry. It was adorable and I loved it. And what else? Oh yeah, Iwata. I wanted to talk about her as well. I'm assuming she was trained by Mako?
She is. She is a Sendai girl. And you can tell as well, because she's the only person I have ever, ever seen go straight into a match with Mako Satomura and kick her straight in the chest. Because that's really stupid. You've either got to be very brave or very good. And Iwata is very good.
Yeah.
She's so good. Oh my gosh.
She is wonderful, and I assume that right away because she reminds me of Mako a bit. I don't know if it's just me.
I've been watching her for about 2 or 3 years now, and even when she was a young girl, she was like, there was more there. She was more kick orientated than wrestling orientated. Now she's more wrestling orientated with a balance. She's become the complete player in the last year or so.
Yeah, she's got the same kind of, I don't know how to explain it. She's elegant, but you know that there's a lot of power behind her.
Yeah.
Behind her kicks and behind her moves. And I think that's what Mako has as well, this quiet elegance, but when you get her mad, she'll kick your head off.
Yeah.
and they both have this, when in doubt, kick it very hard mentality. And yeah. I really enjoy that.
She's ace.
Her facial expressions are amazing too. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just like I'm playing this in the background while we're talking about it, and like she does such a good scared face when she knows she's about to get punched. And she does such a great like, I'm so determined, I'm gonna try to kill you. It's really compelling. Like, she has the sort of expressiveness that I think you need to be not just like a really good wrestler, but a TV star.
Yeah.
Like, you could, I could easily see somebody in a few years booking a TV program around her ability to like stand in front of a camera and give you a feeling with her face.
Yeah. You know, it's using Will Ospreay as an example again, but you know, Will Ospreay's come on leaps and bounds in the last 12 months because he's figured out how to sell properly. It's all degrees. It's progressive. And Iwata's like perfect at that. She's such a progressive seller, as Jim Ross once called it. He's like one of the reasons why Ross likes working for New Japan. He's like, he sees selling like he used to see in the old days, and it's progressive. You don't sell as much toward the beginning till you are towards the end because you're more worn out at the end. But Iwata does that so well. You know, she's got such a presence about her, like Christy said, that elegant destruction presence that she's got.
Yeah. And then well, Mako and Iwata are like, when in doubt, kick it. And then Aja Kong is just hits her problems with a trash can. Like, walks in, like, I don't like you, hit it. And then Hana Kimura spent most of the match screaming in pain and or terror, which I would too, really.
Yeah. I mean, Hana's like, she's more of a straight-up Yakuza kick kind of person rather than a front-kick person, isn't she? So she got that from her mum. Her mum was a straight-up Yakuza kick kind of gal. She liked kicking people in the face with the flat of her foot quite hard.
Yeah, and she's also more... She's also elegant, but she's also she looks a bit more delicate.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, than someone like Iwata does.
I think that cheerleader style gimmick actually suits her, which I didn't think it would do to start with, but it suits her in Sendai Girls. It doesn't suit her. It wouldn't suit her in Stardom, but it suits her here.
And they also paired her up with Aja Kong, which is maybe not the nicest thing to do to a person, but okay. So then watching Hana Kimura trying to bully Aja Kong around was an experience.
Her mum tried often enough. It didn't work for her either.
No, but she tried really, really hard.
Yeah. No, it was a really good match and really showcases the young talent available in Joshi right now and how well that's going to play in the future of Joshi Pro Wrestling, really. And we get to the main event, which also featured two incredible young stars, Chihiro Hashimoto and Cassandra Miyagi. Miyagi was challenging for the Sendai Girls World Heavyweight Championship, which is currently held by Chihiro Hashimoto. Hashimoto is stunning. She is amazing. So is Miyagi. And they're two such different wrestlers that come from such different styles, but it's amazing that they come out the same promotion because you would have thought they were pulled from other places. I mean, Chihiro Hashimoto is the closest thing you'll find to a female Bruno Sammartino. She wrestles, she looks the same kind of physical build, squat, big, muscular, and she wrestles like Bruno did. Pure sweet science and then power when she needs it. And I can't think of words to describe Cassandra Miyagi except beautiful chaos. She is amazing, and I love her to bits. And I think she's absolutely outstanding. And this match was really showing off both their skill sets. I didn't really think Cassandra Miyagi had the submission chops in her to pull off a match like this and what she did in it. It was something really special. And Hashimoto's ability to go from 0 to 500 miles an hour on a dime is just absolutely astounding. So, Christy, what did you think of this matchup?
This was really interesting to me because these are two women whom I've seen around, as in I've seen GIFs and I've seen pictures, and I've never actually seen them wrestle. And I went into this assuming that Miyagi is way older than she actually is. I looked it up and she's like 25, maybe?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
In that? And I assumed she was much older. She looks, I'm not saying she looks old, but she looks experienced and relaxed and weirdly cool.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how I feel about that. It's a bit like my relationship with Evil in New Japan. Like, you look ridiculous, but you're somehow cool.
Yes.
And I have emotions about that that I don't know how to place.
When they kicked off the King of Trios match, she started the match with Trent Severin, and the match opened with her reaching out and stroking his mustache while he reached out and stroked her hair spike.
Yeah, that's also the hair. Let me get to that. Let me just get to the introduction first.
Go on.
I've got a headache now, right? I told you in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think it might have started from her intro. Because, oh my god, that woman, how does she manage the headbang while walking down to the ring and then do it again in the ring and not, like, lose her balance or get a headache or die? It's her entire look is so ridiculous, and yet somehow it works.
Yeah.
And it's not even something that you get used to. Like, I mentioned Evil. Evil I had to get used to so much because it looked ridiculous to me. And she just looks cool. And I don't know how she does it.
No, she's special. She just is just absolutely astounding. And she is going to be a massive, massive star in wrestling generally. If she stays in Sendai for a whole career, she's going to be huge. But if she goes anywhere else, she's going to be even bigger. She's just amazing.
Yeah, she's still so young.
Yeah. Got plenty of room to grow if she wants to.
She looks like such a character and so ready to do more than she's doing now. And I imagine she's already doing great things. So I can only imagine what she's going to be like in the future. And then Hashimoto is just... I don't like comparing women to male wrestlers, but she's a bit more of an Ishii in my opinion. And I really enjoy that. I like this contrast between the more delicate, elegant side of Sendai Girls, and then you've got this woman who just throws you all over the place and is clearly so, so strong, but also so charismatic and so beloved.
Yeah, yeah.
Just watching her and that, listening to the crowd whenever she was in trouble, they were so, so behind her. And I love that so much. I love that crowd was quite clearly in love with her.
And slow slow build as well. It was such a slow build match too. They knew when all the spots were going to hit, and the crowd really built into it as well.
Yeah, and then there was the whole spitting stuff in her face.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what she was spitting, but it looks horrible.
It looked like fake blood, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Cassandra,
and then it dried up, and it made her look like she'd been hit over the head with a baseball bat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they did it twice, but she came back anyway, like, oh, a bit of blood in my face doesn't bother me, whatever. She was just too cool. But she's really cool, but she's also feminine, in a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I love. I love that her hair is amazing, and I wish I had the courage to do it.
Her hair is like so that. Cool. Oh my god, I love her.
It's so pretty. And the colors are so vibrant. And she's killing someone while pink and whatever else she had in her hair is flowing around. And it's amazing. And meanwhile, you've got the contrast with Miyagi, who's got this, I don't know, it's a half-hearted attempt at unicorn cosplay or something.
Possibly. Could be.
It's amazing, and it's the worst, and it's it's ridiculous, and it's so wrestling, and I love it.
What about the eyeshadow? How are you feeling about that?
Oh my god, I wish I had the courage
just to wear that. Or around that.
Oh my god, it's a look that is, I keep calling it ridiculous. It is. It's a ridiculous combination of things. She's wearing some kind of singlet thing. I don't know how to describe it. It's purple. She's very purple. And yet it all works.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that asymmetric costume, because one leg is covered and the other leg isn't, is kind of a bit of a tribute to Megumi Kudo, who always wore gear like that. Might be an idea for him.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've wondered if that's why Ruby Riott does it.
That's a possibility, yeah. There's a few of them. I think there was a couple about that class of 86 did it, and it was kind of people have like always been... it's always been a tribute throwing back to them, too. I can't remember the other one was, but Ray as well. Ray Hamada, who was friends with Megumi Kudo. I think she did a asymmetric outfits as well. Yeah. Chelsea, yeah,
basically, I just want to say one more thing. Chrissy. Basically, I want to be Hashimoto's friend.
Aww.
So if someone could introduce us,
there you go.
That'd be great. If you're listening, she can have my phone number.
That's so pure.
Hang out and drink tea. Chelsea, what are your thoughts on these two characters? Because that's what they are, because they are awesome characters too.
Oh my gosh. Wow. This is so nice. This is a breath of fresh air. These are two people who you can tell, if I didn't know they came up in the same promotion, I would just know that they have wrestled each other a lot and they know each other very well.
Yeah.
There is such an ease between them. They are both so relaxed. And they're competitive with each other. I mean, they make the match engaging and interesting to watch. They're very rough on each other in some spots, but they're just like, there's no work for the two of them to figure out what to do with each other. It's just there. It's just organic. It's so nice. Chihiro Hashimoto, I love her. She is a big bruiser of a wrestler, but she is very technically adept. Like a lot of the girls who come up through Sendai. I think often when I see women with her body type about the fact that, it must be challenging in some ways to be a bigger girl with that very strong body type in Japan. Mm. Because I don't think it's an aesthetic that Japanese mainstream culture knows how to appreciate.
Yeah.
And she has this, like, this very feminine, very innocent quality to her, while also having that body type. And as a bigger lady myself, I find that very refreshing. What do you even say about Cassandra Miyagi? I mean, you guys said a lot of it. I think I have a theory about why she's so cool. And it's, I think that, you know, she has a very, she's a very athletic body type, but I mean, you look at her face and like, I've Googled pictures of her before she had this particular gimmick or before she was doing the unicorn thing with her hair, I should say. And before she had really put her gear all the way together. And like, she had the option, if she wanted it, of trying to make her appearance more mainstream presentable and very slightly more feminine, but she doesn't want it. That's not who she is. She's not interested in making other people feel comfortable with her deal. She's comfortable with her deal, and that's enough for her. And I think that's part of why she's just so effortlessly cool, even though she has a stupid unicorn horn on the front of her head, but it still looks awesome because she is so thoroughly unbothered by, and not unbothered in a fuck you kind of way. She's just unbothered by what anybody else thinks of her. It doesn't frustrate her, or it's not a load that she takes on. She's just cool with it. She's like, I'm here. It's fine. I love watching the way these two move when they like lock up, and the mat wrestling is so cool, and the few high spots in this match are so cool. Like, they have a really good time together, and they, I don't even necessarily like have any knowledge of what it is they would be fighting over beyond, like, I know there's a title belt, right? But I don't know so much about what their personal histories with that belt are. I don't even know, watching this, if either of them have ever held it before. Like,
Chihiro's held it three times. This is her third reign.
Okay.
Actually, maybe a fourth reign. She beat Mako for it. She lost it to Matsumoto. She got it back off Matsumoto. She dropped it to Aoki Hamada, and then Aoki relinquished it, and she's got it back again.
Okay. So, to some extent, then, being world champion is like a day at the office for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. Has Cassandra Miyagi ever held it at all?
No, she hasn't. She hasn't won any titles. She's a tag team with Heidi Katrina, and they've had runs at the tag team titles, but I'm not sure she's won the title or not. I will check whilst we talk.
Okay. Well, it makes... I mean, it kind of makes sense to me if she hadn't. I mean, she does go for and successfully draws first blood in this match. There was a lot of blood. Was the blood fake, or is that real blood?
No, it was fake. It was spat from her mouth. She,
Cassandra
has won the tag team championships with Heidi Katrina twice. They've held it for 188 days combined, and she won it with Dash Chisoko as well for 6 days back in 2017.
Huh. Wow. She's such a good singles wrestler. I that's interesting.
I was going to say, the tag team with Heidi is Cassandra kind of does her thing, and Heidi kind of does her thing, and it just seems to work.
I love tag teams like that. I love tag teams that are like super synergistic and on the same page, but I also love tag teams where people are super different individuals and they come together and they're like, we're on each other's side even though we're different people.
Yeah.
I'm watching this and I feel like I don't have a pick between these two women of one of them feels like the big star and the other one is less so.
Yeah.
They're both huge stars. And to me, I could tell that it was very emotional for Hashimoto when she won, but, I didn't watch this. And like, to me, who won it was almost not important. I was just really happy for the experience of watching it. Which is a really cool feeling. There are some people who say things that matches like that are disappointing for them when they're watching something that's supposed to be for a big title belt. But for me, sometimes it's kind of refreshing because it's just, the story is about those wrestlers and their skills and not as much the title. And to me, a lot of times that's more interesting than the title.
Right then. And we said there was a big announcement at the end. Well, as is tradition in Sendai Girls show, the champion brings, or the main eventer, brings the rest of the Sendai Girls crew into the ring to close the show, and this was no different. Chihiro brought in the rookies and the other Sendai Girls, including the boss Mako Satomura, for a quick chat, and then they closed the show, as they always did. But as they closed the show, a voice from the side of the stage was heard to say, "Oh, Senjo." And it was the current World of Wondering Stardom champion, Kigetsu, former Sendai Girl, former protege of Mako Satomura, and hasn't been seen in a Sendai Girls ring for 3 years after a massive blow-off feud which changed the entire course of Joshi for the next decade. This was a big, big story, and seeing her turn up in Sendai, you actually heard audible gasps in the audience when they saw who it was. What do you think of this angle, Chelsea, and what do you think of this? Because you had an incredible reaction to it when you watched it.
So I love Kagetsu because I've seen her in Stardom. And yeah, I think my reaction was literally like, oh my God, she's so bae. She's so hot. She's the only person in Japanese wrestling who dresses way better than Kota Ibushi. Like, I love her style. She's like got that total Haruka Tenno, you don't know if I'm a man or if I'm a woman thing. And like, oh, I just love that. But I'm unaware of her previous history with Sendai. I knew she was trained there originally, but what is the betrayal thing that you're telling us about? That sounds really interesting.
Let's go through. Should we go through the whole story? Probably the best idea. As I said, she was the number one draw outside of Mako Satomura in Sendai Girls. And she was also incredibly overshadowed by Meiko Satomura. Not her fault, not Meiko's fault, but in the real life she was. She didn't even get a Wikipedia page until she went to World Wandering Stardom. That's how unappreciated she was by the greater fan base, even though she was drawing money and she was producing incredibly good matches. So she kind of like wanted to leave and make her own way forward, I assume. I've not heard any interviews with her about this, but I'm kind of guessing this is what happened. So to make sure she had a good leave and make sure she had lots of things to work with when she left, they organized some serious angles. First of all was an angle based around her relationship with Meiko Satomura. And they had a kind of falling out in a sportsmanlike way and arranged single matches, and Meiko won. And then there was a bigger feud with the young women of Joshi going up against the old Chargers. I think somebody said in Tokyo Daily Sports, we've got to get rid of those old people who are in our way, one of the younger wrestlers said. And it was all kind of orchestrated, not just in one promotion. This is all the promotions of Joshi. And it basically went to the Battle Generation card in 2013, which was 10 of the old Chargers versus 10 of the up-and-coming stars at Currican Hall, winner stays on. And that was an incredible match. It was one match that lasted for an hour and a half, okay, with every major player in wrestling. Now, the veterans kept their opening shot closed. They wouldn't announce who it was. And Tomohiko Aroha, who's now like the ace of Marvelous, was starting. She was working for World Wandering Stardom at the time. She was the opener, and she gets to the ring, and the old veterans picked up Matsumoto as the first person she has to go against. And it was like, oh, you're serious then? You're going to kill all this younger generation, are you? And it was an outstanding match, and Dump got disqualified, unsurprisingly, in 3 minutes. And Hiroa was a bloody mess. And that set the tone for the rest of the card. Had an incredible performance from Yuhi, who sadly retired not long after this from burnout. But she defeated... I'm trying to think who she defeated. She defeated... not Kyoko Inoue, the other Inoue.
Takako.
Takako Inoue, Minami Toyota, and Dynamite Kansai in less than 10 minutes.
What?
Yeah. It's like, it was like watching a video game. It's like, oh, you've beaten Takako Inoue. Oh, look, here comes Minami Toyota. You've beaten Minami Toyota. Oh, look, here's Dynamite Kansai, and she looks like she wants to kill you. And Dynamite walked into the ring and just started kicking the bottom rope whilst the announcement was going on like she used to back in the 80s. And you used to hear this thunk, 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 thunk. And then Yuhi had to wrestle her. And then it went all the way through, and then the final two on the young girl side was Yoshiko, obviously now, this was pre the Akchesa Kaur incident. She was still well-liked within Joshi at the time. She's kind of recovered herself. But Yoshiko was the second-to-last leg for the young girls, and it was Aja Kong was the last leg for the older women. Yoshiko lost to Aja, but Kagetsu beat Aja. And then it came down to Meiko Satomura in the final lineup, and Meiko got in the ring and looked down on Aja of like, what have you done? Why couldn't you put her away? I shouldn't even be here. And Kigetsu beat Meiko Satomura, and then Chigusa Nagayo came down, who had been coaching Kigetsu through this run-up to this particular tournament, and that was the birth of Marvelous. That's how they started the Marvelous promotion. That was the angle.
Holy shit!
Okay. And it affected everything. It affected World Wandering Stardom, because the next pay-per-view main event for World Wandering Stardom was Kagetsu and Yoshiko versus Nanai Takahashi and Meiko Satomura, the two veterans who'd been at each other's throats a year before, are suddenly tagging together. And it made money for every promotion for 18 months. And eventually, when things settled down, Kagetsu needed a job. She signed on as a freelancer with World Wandering Stardom. And the rest, as they say, is history. She turned heel, became the leader of Odeo Tai, and... now she's the biggest star in Stardom. And she is well out of Meiko Satomura's shadow. So this is what makes this particular appearance really interesting, because there's a bunch of people in Sendai who want her blood in the storyline. So what are your thoughts on that, ladies?
Well, it certainly made it more impactful for me, because I was just excited to see Kagetsu. But I knew nothing about the history. So knowing all that, it's just so much more special. I'm also really impressed by the fact that she was going to be leaving, and so they went, well, let's make you an even bigger star then.
Yeah. So we
like as a going away present.
that seems like maybe this is me like projecting something onto her that's not entirely the case because I love her so much, but that feels like such a Mako thing to do to me. Like she seems like somebody who wants everybody around her to succeed.
Yes.
Even if it's not going to be her way.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, and it's also a bit of a I'm sorry that I couldn't make you the star here that you deserve, maybe.
Yeah. It was interesting watching the videos from Mayhem Classic this week and seeing Mako Satomura shaking Triple H's hand, and it's like I'm looking at that video and I'm going, she does what you do, but she does it better.
She's better than you
but
at
she's
everything.
Actually good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And she
she's
is
better at life.
Less problematic than you are. And you know, she's you, but with none of the drawbacks and a better wrestler.
And she's lovely.
Yes.
As far as I could tell when I met her.
Oh no, she is. She is. Yeah.
And yeah, it's just so I didn't know all of this when I was spoiled for this happening. Because I was spoiled by the internet before I even knew we were recording this. But I was just so excited about seeing Kagetsu, because she's so awesome. She's pretty much everyone's favorite wrestler in Stardom right now. Like, everyone loves her because she's amazing and she's charismatic and she's really herself, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah,
she doesn't let Stardom, which is a pretty, how do you say it, cosmetic promotion?
It's a promotion that favors very femmy, very
yeah,
girls with a lot of mainstream feminine appeal.
Yeah.
It's a bit more male gazy than
some
of the others.
Rossi Yagawa kind of like built when well then Takahashi was there and she was kind of like the guiding light. It was more based around Stardom was based around the legacy of AJW, whereas Sendai Girls was based around the legacy of Gaia. And that's really, that's my theory anyway, and that kind of like plays out in the sense that AJW did have a phenomenal wrestlers, the best wrestlers that ever lived, but they were working towards a male audience a lot of the time, especially after the Crush Girls retired because, you know, they were trying to grow their audience, which was largely female.
Yeah, and Rossi is a creep.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a really big creep. Anyway, I still like watching Stardom. But I like that Kagetsu is none of that.
Yeah.
She's not worried about appealing to the male audience. She just wants to wrestle and be her character and be... It's a bit like Mako, because Mako might be pretty and she might look elegant. She doesn't do it for that reason.
Yeah.
And I like that in wrestlers, that they don't care for the audience that might be watching them. They just want to wrestle and be themselves. And that's Kagetsu. And just knowing all that you explained to us, the backstory and what it means to both sides on this upcoming war, makes it all the more special. Just knowing that Kagetsu was Mako's protege who had to go somewhere else to become successful, but did it really, really well. And can now challenge Mako on a more even keel.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right? Is that English?
Yes, right. That's right.
Sometimes I have to wonder, am I Englishing right?
Yes, you are.
I'm really excited about what's going to happen with this. And just knowing this is going to happen makes me want to get a subscription. So I might get one for Sendai.
Well, there you go.
Probably wait until the next month and then get one. I think there's going to be tag match first. I read it somewhere. I think Mako and Dash versus Kagetsu and a partner of her choosing.
Right. We'll see who she picks, because that could be very interesting about the long-term development of this story.
Maybe it's already been chosen. It's been a couple of days since I saw that. And I don't really pay too much attention.
It was, I mean, I do have to say this was really a breakout point for a lot of the companies in Joshi, certainly Stardom and certainly Sendai Girls getting a lot bigger and more well-known because of this storyline, because it involved Chigusun and Gaio. It brought a lot more mainstream attention to it. So bringing this back is really, really good for both companies, I think.
Yeah, and I also really like that they're so willing to work together. I mean, they have to because they're smaller. But I also like that it's not this enclosed environment.
No.
If that makes sense. That it's not, these are the players that you're going to get. Yeah. And that's limited to that. That's the entire universe. No, it's more than just the promotion. There's an entire universe outside of this promotion. And they can impact what's going on here. And I really, really like that. Because it doesn't make it as... stiff. I don't know how to explain it, but it means
you don't have to feel bad supporting it. You can feel good about supporting it because the people involved support each other.
Yeah, and it's also because it's not limited just to the people on the roster, so you could have a feud with anyone. So anything could happen. I like that kind of freedom in my promotions. Just knowing that the unthinkable could happen is really, really exciting.
Excellent. Right then, we will have to wrap our show to today, but thank you very much for joining us. I would like to thank my guests, Christy from Wrestling Sexism and from New Japan Gifts. Thank you very much for your time.
You are very welcome. This was really exciting. And yes. I've been looking forward to watching Sendai for a long time, so you made a dream come true.
Aw, we do try and make dreams come true at the True Penny Show. You can find Christy at SmartConfested on Twitter. You can also find her at Wrestling Sexism and NJPW Gifts. I would like to thank Miss Chelsea Spallard of Shoulders Up for her time. You can find her at Chelsea Comics and also at Shoulders_Up, where she mainly talks about wrestling. Thank you for your time today, ma'am.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
You can find the show at Troopany Show on Twitter. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. All of us will answer questions that have been raised in this show, and we'll give you as much insight as we possibly can. You can find us also on Facebook, The Troopany Show, and you can find us on Patreon, where you can keep The Troopany Show free forever for everyone. The next show on The Troopany Show channel will be Freelance Wrestling Rewind, and this week, Mike and Kat will be discussing the Mae Young Classic WWE Evolution pay-per-view and the progress women's wrestling has made in bra and panties matches to the 5-star performances of today. You can see a bit of a theme going on with our shows this week, and we didn't really plan that. It was just the way it all became natural.
Meant to be.
They'll be looking at a whole lot more from the wrestling news as they rewind the wrestling week. You can find Mike at Mike Freeland. You can find Kat at ArtcoreX on Twitter, I believe. But you can follow their show, and you can listen to them this week, probably on Tuesday when it comes out. And we hope you're enjoying our new show, because it's a lot of fun to listen to. And it's nice to have a new crew to talk to as well. Right, take care. Next week, it's WWE Evolution, Mae Young Classic. We'll be looking at those. And then after that, we will be getting back to Power Struggle. And then after that, looks like we're going to be looking at some year-end awards. And we'll see. We'll make some discussions this week amongst the crew about how that's going to play out. Take care. Have a good week. And we will see you next week. Bye.